After months at sea, relief has finally arrived for a US aircraft carrier deployed to the Middle East. The USS Abraham Lincoln was supposed to return to the United States in May, but the war with Iran has pushed its deployment to a record-breaking 9 months. 5,000 sailors will now make their journey home. It follows concerns over deteriorating conditions on board the vessel, including reports of fresh food shortages, plumbing issues, and multiple attempts of sailors to jump overboard. Elliot Rosenbaum is a former active duty US Navy psychologist who previously worked as the chief of mental health at Jacksonville's Naval Hospital. Elliot Rosenbaum, some members of the public were surprised by the emergence of this story about the condition and the mindset of some on board this USS Abraham Lincoln. Were you surprised, though, about what can happen with the mental health of sailors if they're at sea for a long time?
No, this is quite unprecedented, Sally, that a ship has been out for this period of time. And one of the features of Navy life is that when you're on board an aircraft carrier or part of a strike group, you get a break every month, roughly, and they're not normal breaks. It's the reason we call these deployments cruises, because sailors get to stop in beautiful places around the world. They get a break, they get to rest, they get to go to places like Sri Lanka and Thailand and Singapore. And that never happened here. These sailors were at sea for an unprecedented amount of days, over 200 days without a break, under combat situations, aircraft taking off 24/7. I've been deployed on an aircraft carrier. It is very difficult to work, to sleep, to focus. There's almost no personal space, and things start breaking after a while. So the water quality, plumbing, food, there's so many challenges these sailors endure. I'm not surprised at all.
What's it like if you're a psychologist on board a vessel like this? Are you trying to deal with individual cases, or are you trying to measure the mental health, the morale of the ship's crew as a whole, in a way?
Yeah, so, I mean, you try to be as preventative as possible. So you get involved in all kinds of welfare, morale operations that the journey that they're going under may involve. So you try to think about what I can do to help here. And there could be support groups for different issues that people are dealing with. People are away from home for a long time. So you try to be proactive and think about what you can do. Very limited resources for so many people, as opposed to waiting for emergencies to arise. But really, your main job is to deal with the emergencies. When somebody is acting in a way that is making others concerned, they may be brought to the psychologist to make a determination whether or not they can be kept on board for their safety and the safety of others. Sometimes they do need to be taken off the plane, taken to a hospital, those kinds of things. So, you know, you're there to help in a proactive way, but you're also there to play defense and make sure that people are safe. And it's a lot of people. A strike group can have around 10,000 people pretty much alone on that mission of making sure that the mental health is positive and moving in a good direction. So I haven't had any contact with the psychologist on board the USS Lincoln, but it's a very difficult job under normal circumstances. With everybody getting a break every 30 days here, I can't imagine how difficult that must be.
Why has this vessel been at sea for so long? Obviously, it's in combat operations at the moment, but normally there are provisions for these breaks. What's happened? What do we understand about what's gone wrong here?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we just got news that their relief has arrived, and it is a mystery. You know, we're just focused in our areas for me in mental health psychology. But in terms of policy, what went wrong here that the USS George Washington, which just arrived in the area to provide relief, and now the USS Lincoln can start making its journey back. They have a tough decision to make. Should they make some port calls and let the sailors get a little rest before they come home, or just head straight home? They have some difficult decisions to make, but why this happened exactly is hard for me to say.
on board, particularly when you're out in an operational environment, what's the relationship like between a psychologist on board a vessel and the commanders of that vessel about what needs to happen, whether you need to give a little bit to the sailors or whether it's being viewed by commanders as a disciplinary issue and they need to crack down? What's that relationship like?
It's a big part of what your role is as the ship psychologist, is to be in contact with the commanders and to be a part of the decisions. I think that it's a case-by-case basis, personality-wise, usually, whether a commander is interested in hearing what the mental health professional has to say or not, or whether that mental health professional has the skill set to communicate in a way that is clear and is helpful and, you know, egos don't get in the way and that kind of thing. So it's a whole nother skill set to learn how to communicate with the ship's command. And it doesn't always go so smoothly. Where a commander may say, you know, that's really nice, that's really, really caring, really fluffy, but we're tough, and we're going to stick it out. And it's really up to the commander to make those decisions. Of course, in a case like this, where something becomes so public, nowadays, and I have a friend who's deployed, he's not telling me exactly where he is, but he's communicating with me with WhatsApp. He's sending me pictures, and so information is being spread in a way that never was the case before. Information coming on and off these ships. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure on these commanders in terms of public opinion as well.
Elliot, it's been fascinating to talk to you. Thank you very much for speaking to me this morning.
It's my pleasure.